need to always be reminded that if we are in the body of Christ, we're less than the least. And there is nothing in us to commend us to God or to cause us to have an attitude of pride above another. Those thoughts come from, you know, a heart that's depraved, to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. May the Lord constantly grant us high thoughts of Christ and of his person and work. The last time we saw the necessity of patience, and the example is given of Job, how he waited. You know, you can read the statements of Job in the book of Job and wonder how it is that he's used as an example of patience. David was said to be a man after God's own heart, and yet you read the Psalms and see how often he poured out his complaint before the Lord. You know, I think many people think that if we're patient, that means then we don't really say what we're thinking. But that's just the opposite. To wait patiently on the Lord is to cry out to him, is to make him hear what he sees already in the heart, and yet to wait there. And I believe that's the lesson.
When thou art bidden by of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, the highest place, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then thou shalt have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. See, our Lord is talking in a parable. They didn't even recognize that he was the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, that had the utmost room. That was his place. But they'd already taken it. And so he is saying to them, better to go back and sit in the back and let him that bid thee come bring you forward. He's speaking of himself. This is how our Lord went from place to place, calling those that the Pharisees thought nothing of. In fact, they barely had a place in these places. They stood at the door, and Christ would bid them to come. He says, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. That's what these Pharisees were doing. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then said he also to him that bade him. So it's still in this context, this chief Pharisee had bid him to supper. When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. Here our Lord is speaking of himself. This is what he came to do. He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. There's no plan A, plan B. As you hear some say that God created and Adam fell, and so now God had to come up with another plan. No. This was set forth even before the fall. There was the Savior. He was ordained to be that Savior. And in time, in the fullness of the time, God set forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And so we can see here that the coming of this horn of salvation was prophesied of old. I will tell you, the Old Testament used to be a closed book for me, just because even though I knew that certain parts of it, that's how I'd been taught, had to do with Christ, it just seemed like a lot of old history. And like getting an old history book off the shelf and dusting it off and going back and reading. But I'll tell you, when it pleased God to reveal Christ in me, Suddenly now I'd go back to the Old Testament and wonder, how is it that I miss Christ? Well, unless God gives you eyes to see, you're going to miss him. Unless he turns the light on, you'll not see him. But thank God, he's there. And that's the glory of reading all of Scripture. I know that some of these religious organizations that translate the Bible, they don't even want to start with the Old Testament. They want to start with a New Testament. But I'll tell you, you can't understand the New without the Old.